I don't quite understand everything I've heard about all the spiritual gifts. Like, does every person who truly knows Jesus Christ have every spiritual gift? Or are there some Christians who may not have any gifts at all?
Spiritual gifts have been a controversial and misunderstood subject within the church. Today on Hope for the Heart, June Hunt helps make sense of this outward fruit of the Spirit as she looks at spiritual gifts. This discussion is part of her series, The Holy Spirit, Living Free in the Power and Peace of the Spirit. So, what are spiritual gifts? Does everyone have a spiritual gift? June answers these questions and more as she's joined again today by her Hope in the Night co-host, Jim Kress. Now, here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
I can remember never even having heard of spiritual gifts. The church in which I was raised never talked about spiritual gifts, but in retrospect, I'm not sure how many people in that church really were saved, so maybe that was why.
And I
wasn't saved either, so.
Well, and that's a key issue. We're assuming going into this, obviously assuming that we're talking about true believers, true Christians, and not people
right.
who just want to kind of have Christian attributes or whatever.
Right. When people use the term spiritual gifts, let's make sure we're very clear about what the Word of God teaches. Basically, spiritual gifts refer to supernatural abilities, which the Holy Spirit bestows upon each believer at the time of salvation for the purpose of strengthening the church, which is called the body of Christ.
Right.
Let me mention a few other characteristics of spiritual gifts. They are unearned, undeserved, and by the way, feel free during this time to grab a pen, to write, take notes, because if you're like a lot of people I know, they have a lot of questions mm-hmm. about spiritual gifts and about the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are not just supernatural abilities. They are a means through which God's love is expressed to others. They're intended as a gift of love to others, and a fourth point, they're an opportunity for the Lord to accomplish His personalized plan and purpose for your own life. And Jim, I want us to cover what the spiritual gifts are, mm-hmm. but first let me read 1 Corinthians 12, and I will say that there are four passages in Scripture that deal with spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the four. And it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men.
June, I touched on this at the outset of the program, and the question that I've heard people actually ask, does everybody have the same gift, all of the same gifts? Is it possible for a person to actually be a Christian and not have any gifts at all?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the person listening right now who may have this question.
Mm-hmm.
What if I don't believe I have any spiritual
right.
gifts?
And I have a friend who said those very words to me. What I said back to her is, yes, you do have a spiritual gift. You see, I know she's an authentic Christian,
mm-hmm.
but she, like me, was not raised hearing anything about spiritual gifts. However, spiritual gifts are given to every believer according to the authority of the Word of God. In fact, Jim, that's mentioned in the very next verse from where I just read,
mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And this is in context
right.
of the spiritual gifts.
June, there are a lot of strong feelings or emotions about this area of spiritual gifts. And what if you run into a person who doesn't see eye to eye with you about the Spirit, maybe even what they're thinking.
I've run into
yeah.
some like that. In fact, I've had people tell me because I did not have a particular gift that I was not a Christian.
Oh, yes.
I've mm-hmm. been told if because I didn't have a particular gift that I did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't have the anointing of the Spirit, you know, numerous things like this. And I don't argue with them. If that's their teaching, if they're asking me a question, that's a different matter,
mm-hmm.
and I will take them to Scripture. But I would think it's important, don't allow yourself to be offended. Different people have different thoughts about spiritual gifts, and for some, they've been rooted in a theology that teaches one interpretation. And my opinion is, don't look for controversy. Look for unity. That is biblical.
Yes.
In Philippians 2, we are to be like-minded. That's God's heart for us.
What are spiritual gifts? Does everyone have the same spiritual gift? This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Let's return now as June continues to discuss spiritual gifts.
What if someone is insisting that I have a spiritual gift? I mean, you have to have this in your life. You just absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. But it's not present there. I don't see that it's present.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I read Scripture, I do not see anywhere that God says everyone has to have the same gift. 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, to one, meaning one person, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, and if you'll hear this, he's saying, to one person he gives this, to another that, another that. Not to all, but to another, it as though he's singling out this one and that one. And then it comes back and says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. And that's the point. You see, Jim, if I am so focused on the gift, then I'm going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to focus on the giver of the gift.
Yeah, it reminds me, too, of the analogy that when people have said, we're not to worship the Bible, we're to read it to ultimately get closer to know more about it, to worship God. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in that, the Bible is God's word and all that. Mm-hmm. Don't hear me say it's not. But the same way as with the gifts. If we get so focused on those gifts, we're missing, as you're saying, the giver of gifts.
Yeah. Jim, I'm glad you said that, because many years ago, I told the Lord he could do anything in me, to me, and through me. And I said, if you want me to experience anything in terms of the gifts, I do not want to come with a preconditioned mindset that this is the only way you can work God, and this is how it has to be based on my experience.
Putting you in a box.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Now, I didn't want to limit then what God could do. But he has not given me every gift. But I have said, you can do anything you want to me. And that still stands true today. But I clearly read, and if there are those who need to take a fresh look at this, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 8, he gives different gifts to different people. And we are not to be judgmental, thinking that somebody is supposed to have this gift in order to truly be spiritual.
June, we've talked about the fact that there are different spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
What are they, the different types or different kinds of spiritual gifts?
Well, we could say that they actually break into two categories, specifically speaking gifts and serving gifts.
Hmm.
Now, a moment ago I mentioned that there are four basic areas in Scripture that really speak about the gifts, and it's kind of easy to remember. And you could jot this down if you're taking notes. It's 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12.
Hmm.
Let me begin reading in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Here you see these two categories of speaking gifts and serving gifts. This passage reads, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, again, speaking gifts, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If one serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
Well, June, a moment ago you actually read or mentioned some of these gifts from 1 Corinthians 12.
Yes, in verse 8 it starts with wisdom, which means supernatural application of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is mentioned, meaning supernatural revelation. And again, all these are supernatural. These are things you just didn't grow up with. These are not just natural bents. Faith, supernatural ability to believe God for what He is sure to provide. Healings, supernatural ability to cure human illness, whether physical, emotional, mental, or demonic. Miracles, supernatural ability to perform feats outside the laws of nature. Discernment of spirits, which means supernatural ability to distinguish divine spirits from demonic spirits. The gift of tongues, a supernatural ability to speak in a language not known by the speaker. And then interpretation of tongues, a supernatural clarification of messages uttered in unknown languages. Instead of coming with our preconceived ideas, why don't we all just say, Spirit of God, teach us what you want to teach us. After all, you are the Spirit of truth. Give us teachable hearts so that we might receive what you want us to understand.
Approaching God is the best way to seek out His gifts for us. This is Hope for the Heart. Our host, June Hunt, is sharing from her Heart of the Matter series, The Holy Spirit. June has discussed the different spiritual gifts. Now she responds to the question, if I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, why do I still wrestle with not doing what the Holy Spirit would want me to do? Here again is June Hunt.
We need to have transformed thinking. The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we all have inner needs that at times are not met for unconditional love, significance, and security. And so often we think, well, if I just had this relationship, I know it's not right, I know it's unhealthy, but I have to have it. Or I have to have anything. It could be an addiction to pornography, to some substance. Jim, I don't believe it's that people say, oh, I want to go out and do something sinful. Let's see, what can I figure out to do to be sinful?
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is get our God-given needs met. It's just that we're getting them met illegitimately. I think a major part of our problem is we don't see the role that God wants to play in our lives. Specifically, the Holy Spirit is the active presence and power of God in our lives. He is our power for change. He's our power enabling us to be faithful, steadfast, and effective in our walk with God. Therefore, if we don't know how to be Spirit-led, then we'll do what the Bible says, we'll walk in the flesh, not in the Spirit.
Well, June, in your counseling keys on the Holy Spirit, you have listed several illustrations that deal with what you like to call the gingerbread man.
Yes. Try to visualize this in your mind. Imagine a fairly large circle sectioned like three large pieces of pie. And these three parts comprise the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. Now, the mind, will, and emotions are the behavioral part of us. If you hear word that someone very close to you is at the point of death, that's recorded in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately you feel the emotion, so your emotions are responders to what you've just recorded in the mind, and most people tend to act out of their emotions. That's the behavioral part of you, your mind, emotions, and will. And usually it goes in that order, mind, emotions, and will.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that large circle where on the inside of that larger circle is a very small circle. Let's call that the human spirit. The human spirit is designed by God to house the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to indwell your human spirit. Now, why? Why is the Holy Spirit wanting to indwell your human spirit? The Holy Spirit is designed by God to live within your human spirit, to be like batteries in a flashlight, to empower you. In what way? To teach your mind how to think, to direct your will how to act, to control your emotions, how to feel in a way that's right in God's sight.
Here's a question for you. Just what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer today? There are actually 8 vital roles, and I'd like to tell you about a powerful resource that answers that question and many more. It's a Heart of the Matter series from Hope for the Heart, and you can order it online at hopefortheheart.org or by calling our order line at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE.
You're listening to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt as she looks at the Holy Spirit.
Well, June, do you have a practical illustration out of your own life that illustrates what you're talking about?
Well, I think I have a whole bunch of them, Jim. probably too many. Mm. What immediately comes to mind is, as a young adult, I had a pattern periodically of lying. And I was involved as a youth director, and yet if I was confronted with failing or appearing as though I had failed, I would rewrite history. I would bend the truth. Now, the problem with me was for a period of time, I didn't feel guilty, and I couldn't understand that because I knew that periodically I was getting caught, and that is no fun to get caught.
No, it's not.
Number two, I knew in my head that it was wrong, so why wasn't I feeling a conviction about this? And it bothered me more that I wasn't feeling conviction. Now, it certainly bothered me when I got caught. And I began to one day really think about this. I thought, where does this come from? Why am I doing this? And so I thought back, when was the first time I could remember lying? And it was as a child. I remember being told to present something that was not true in regard to our family. And I maintained basically that line of presentation for years out of loyalty. Loyalty was the highest value. Well, I had a number of years of patterning, trying to be loyal. And then when I got out from underneath the home situation, I was in a pattern of cover-up. And actually, it turned to loyalty to me, not having consequences. Now, this is where I began to pray a very significant prayer. I prayed, God, may I see sin as you see sin, and may I hate sin like you hate sin. Well, whose role is that to give me that kind of view in life? Obviously, the Holy Spirit. He is the convictor. And as I began to pray a prayer that was according to God's will, I did begin to feel conviction. And because I wanted to be godly, as I began to read the scripture more and more, I read that God cannot lie. So I wasn't being godly. And I had to deal with, when I was a child, I reasoned as a child. Now that I've become an adult, I need to put childish ways behind me. How was I going to do that? I needed the Word of God to be my standard. And the Holy Spirit taught my mind how to think. The Holy Spirit directed my will and how to act, and the Holy Spirit began to control my emotions of how I needed to feel, not fear-based, not afraid of consequences, but I needed to feel good about telling the truth no matter what. And that came by realizing Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit was teaching my mind, Jesus is the truth. The way, the truth, the life. And he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, as I began to deal with scriptures having to do with truth, I wanted to be a truth teller. And then he directed my will how to act. And that was tough. I mean, I had to do all-out war, Jim, on lying. It was a hidden habit that people didn't know about, at least most people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it required such inner strength that I needed to rely on God's Spirit to empower me to change a lifelong habit. And in the end, oh, the emotion of freedom instead of bondage, the emotion of joy of doing what was right, even if people thought less of me because I ended up not looking good. So that's how the Holy Spirit truly works in our lives. And I believe he reverses the process of mind impacting the emotions, impacting the will. I think it then that pattern is reversed. The Holy Spirit teaches our minds how to think, and sometimes it won't be what we feel like doing, but we'll make a decision based on principle. You know, Hebrews 10:36 says, after you've done the will of God, then you receive the promise. So you have to know in your mind, first of all, what is the will of God. Then, number two, the Holy Spirit will convict you to do the will of God. And if he's not doing that, pray that he will, that you give him liberty to convict you. And then the caboose, the end result will be the peace of knowing that you have done what God wants you to do, that you are a person of integrity. You're a person of conscience and conviction.
Do you know the 9 spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians? These gifts, right and wrong beliefs, and much more are all available in June Hunt's Heart of the Matter series, The Holy Spirit, where she teaches us how to live free in the power and peace of the Spirit. This Heart of the Matter series includes a complete set of audio, a companion hope book, and 10 scripture memory cards. If you'd like to get more information on this topic or any of our 100 topics, you can simply by calling 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673, or at hopefortheheart.org. The Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit, as June discussed today, can be a little confusing. Have you thought of adding this topic to your lending library, either for you to learn and grow from, or to lend to a friend or loved one for their learning and spiritual growth? Again, more information can be found at hopefortheheart.org or by calling 1-800-488-HOPE. You know, as we talk about growing in our relationship with God and in our knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit, listen to this note that we received from a listener in Texas.
I listen to you every night. Your compassion for others has really touched me. I am in a ministry that houses women coming out of less than fortunate situations. I've learned how to have more compassion and understanding for them because of the kind and non-judgmental words I hear from you every night as you counsel people.
You know, some listeners find solutions to their own problems, and others, like this writer, find encouragement in their efforts to minister to others. And here at Hope for the Heart, our ministry is both to those with personal needs and those seeking to help friends, neighbors, or family members to find God's truth for today's problems. You can be a part of this work by partnering with us through prayer and giving. You can invest in changing lives with a generous one-time gift or through a monthly financial partnership. We also need those who will commit to pray for June and for Hope for the Heart, and we will partner in prayer with you as well. You can learn more either online at hopefortheheart.org, that's hopefortheheart.org, or by speaking with a Hope Care representative at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Now let's go back to June, who has a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Don't worry if you haven't received the same spiritual gift as someone else. The Apostle Paul says that all of the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says, He, and that's the Holy Spirit, gives them to each one just as He determines. So just remember, the Spirit is the one who chooses the gifts.